Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Welcome to 2020.
Welcome to 2020 and your orthodontia emergency.
Yes, I finally can talk like a normal person. That was $100 in the bucket to get that fixed. Lord. But I could barely listen to myself anymore. I was annoying myself.
Jeez.
Like, man. So my mouth is fixed. Thank goodness for my orthodontist, Dr. Dyer. What up? Hadn't seen him in like 15 years. Everybody there is the same. I think the front desk lady,
the girl who is
an orthodontic hygienist. Orthodontic assistant. I don't know. I'm sorry. All of you out there, you're all amazing. But she was the same, and then my orthodontist, and they're just wonderful people, and they helped me. Thank you so much, because it was driving me nuts. Besides giving me a migraine, it was just driving me crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that's fixed.
New year, new mouth.
Well, not a new mouth, but a new permanent retainer.
Well.
Okay.
I would say new year, new mouth.
Okay. I'll take it. Anything New Year related for you, Dory?
Not particularly. I am over my cold.
Yay.
Yeah, so I sound normal again.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I went to Disney again this weekend, so that probably didn't help.
Goodness. Now you got something all over again.
Petri dish of germs. But I still love Disney. I just carry around hand sanitizer now. Next thing you know, I'm going to be wearing a mask.
Oh, see, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Really?
You know, they do that in Japan.
I know, but it... They look weird.
I don't know.
There's like smog and stuff, and that's why they wear it. I think the pollution is not good.
They actually do it. It's actually polite.
Oh.
Because if you have a cold, you don't want to spread your cold to other people.
But then that just indicates that you have a cold. And then people are like, ooh, Typhoid Mary. Ugh.
Nah. I don't know. It's just like part of their something. That
okay. I got a merchandising idea for Disney.
Oh, gosh. Sell masks?
Masks that have character mouths on it.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah. I'd buy it.
I would quickly jump on that.
I know I should. Oh, darn. I shouldn't have said it out loud. Anyway, so we're all on the mend. I did see a story today that apparently the flu is going to be the worst in Florida. It's been in decades. So a lot of people have strong feelings about flu shots. I've gotten one the last couple of years, and you might get a cold every once in a while, and you might still get the flu, but not as severely as you might get it if you didn't have the flu shot. But everybody has their own ideas on that. So.
Yeah, you're a flu shotter.
I am. I just don't want to be sick.
But that's okay.
It
I always tell people, go if you feel that you need the flu, especially if you're a young person, like a child.
Well, the FDA recommends it for young children and elderly people of a certain
100%.
Age. Yeah.
But the rest of you, to each your own. You want a flu shot? Go for it.
You don't? Go
that's
for
fine
it. Just
too.
Stay away from me if you get the flu. If you don't get a flu shot. Anyway, and wash your hands a lot.
Yeah, people should be doing that, I hope, anyway.
Wash your hands and hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be fair, well, they say what they want to say about the outbreak being as bad as it may be in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But we just recently got over a Hep A outbreak in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And I think people were washing their hands a lot. And restaurants all over, you know, many famous restaurants in the area were shut down because of Hep A for a period of time. So I think people in this area kind of got used to the washing your hands extra.
Then keep it up.
Yeah.
Anyway. That is our little health corner on the new year of Game Misconduct. None of that was backed by the FDA, and none of what we say are medical opinions or from professionals. So it's just our opinion. All right. Shall we talk? I mean, I feel like it's a good thing. And so we're going to replay. We have a lot of new listeners to our show, which we love. And so we're going to actually replay an interview from a couple seasons ago, and we'll get into it later, why we're going to replay this interview, because it is all of a sudden somewhat relevant again.
It's kind of a great story.
It's always relevant just because of who it is, but there's a relevancy to it now because of something. So we'll get into that. We're going to keep it a secret until we get into at the end of the second segment before we play it.
Yeah.
So, but we have a lot to talk about.
Oh.
The team went on the road.
Oh.
And you never know what's going to happen on the road. And we've been wondering about the inconsistency and being consistently inconsistent.
And, yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of our Christmas wishes came true. And I feel like We are seeing the team of last year emerge. Or a version of.
Agreed.
Maybe even a better version of.
Yeah, it feels like we hit a turning point.
Yes.
It feels like something happened. Something shifted. We had a paradigm shift in this team.
Yes. So Buffalo, a win 6-2. You want to say anything particular about that win?
Buffalo was really slated to be one of the top contenders in the East.
Right. And they were at the very beginning of the season.
And then right before the trip to Sweden, things started kind of going a little downhill for them.
Yes.
Around the time that the Lightning really kind of was struggling, we go to Sweden. We sweep them in Stockholm. We come home. We play them again. We win at home.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Eichel is still absolutely mind-blowingly good.
Yeah.
But it was almost like maybe the Lightning just have their number this season. So they met them for the final time with a huge win. I thought it was a huge win. Buffalo's definitely not out of it. But I will say that I think that was when I started to that was when I really started to feel like this team feels different to me. This team looks different. The attitude, not that everything was perfect, obviously, but I felt it was very cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, it flowed real well for them. There was no panic. There was no sense of emergency or anything like that. It was a real nice win.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, if we can string another one of these together, I think we've seen that shift that we've been waiting for.
Right.
That's
so a nice win. It was just good to see them win.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really sure what we were going to get.
Yes. Right.
So, then they go to Montreal. And there are a lot of important games, a lot of important points here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they go to Montreal, and it wasn't looking good at the beginning.
No.
But then a 2-1 win, which we don't see a lot of 2-1 games anymore.
No, we don't. Especially from the Lightning.
Right. Well, last season.
Yeah.
It's always like 3-plus goals. So 2-1 makes me nervous. So we pull out a win in Montreal. Yay.
An important win.
Yes.
In my opinion, points-wise.
Points. That could really be the difference maker come.
And then they're chugging along. And I'm like, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little close, but you know what? They won a lot of close games last year. People, you know, we've heard from several of our guests that said last year was a completely different season. There was a lot of lucky bounces. There were a lot of things that went the Lightning's way that normally is a free-for-all, but it went the Lightning's way.
Right.
And I felt Montreal was a little bit of that. Things are going their way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about I don't like them close games either. I wish every game was a, you know, blowout.
Right.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No.
But Ottawa was the game.
Right. And, you know, they've had their struggles this season. But the last time we were in Ottawa, I think the last time or one early in the season, we went to Ottawa. And you thought, Ottawa, we've got this. And we did not have that.
It was bad. It was like 6-1 loss, 7-1 loss. It was bad.
It was brutal. So, you know, we didn't say that this time. Mm-hmm. But a 5-3 win.
Mm-hmm. First of a back-to-back. And that was when I went, okay, now I'm really starting to feel good
comfortable
about this. Because at this point, they had won how many games straight? Five?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because they had won at home.
They had won 5. After Montreal, that was 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now I'm like, okay, feeling good here, feeling good. Ottawa was 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, thank
and that
you.
Was a come-from-behind win, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were down early.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah.
They were down early, and they had to fight, mm-hmm. come back. Mitchell Stevens, who I've been excited to see a lot this year of. We've seen him dress up in a lot of games. But, you know, this is the kid that back in 2014 when he was drafted, this is the kid that everybody's like, oh, could this be the next, you know, Steve Stamkos?
Really?
Meaning the fact that he's fast.
Yeah.
He's very highly skilled. But the thing about Mitchell Stevens that everybody was talking about back in the day when he was, he's still young, but
right.
a kid, was his defensive prowess. He's pretty clever in the defensive zone. He's a real good defensive forward, and it needed, you know, time, the two-way player type of guy. So seeing him this season, I really like. But when he has an impact on games the way he had mm-hmm. against Ottawa and against Carolina,
mm-hmm.
I'm like,
now we're seeing it.
We have another center.
Yeah, another.
I mean, we have Stamkos and Braden Point, and, you mm-hmm. know, sometimes they move a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but... And now if we can get Mitchell Stevens on that plane,
yeah.
get out of my face.
Oh, hey.
Suckers, because you better watch out for this Lightning team.
Yeah, and it was like, was it 10 players had a point in that game or something crazy?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And again, I think when you start seeing those guys get involved with things.
Well, it means we have all four lines rolling.
Shattenkirk. Had a real nice game.
Our defensemen are getting.
I would like.
Yeah, our defensemen are playing really well. Sergachev's had a good road trip. When I feel like we're firing on all cylinders here. You know, we're not just the first and second line. We got the third and fourth line rolling, and then our defensemen are putting shots on net and they're going in. It's almost like we're
right.
Not going to say it.
No, I know, but
I'm seeing shades of the team from last season that broke those records.
Yeah.
Much more than I was seeing it in October and
yeah.
November.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making me feel good.
And I really thought that Carolina win was huge.
Yeah, so the second of a back-to-back. And I saw this on Brian Burns on his article after the Carolina game. And they probably talked about it on the broadcast too. But you're like, oh, you're professional athletes. Get out there and do your job, right? Back-to-back. Stop complaining. They don't. We complain for them. But get out there and do your job. So just kind of to give you an idea of their 24 hours. So they play a game in Ottawa. They come back from behind and win 5-3. Then they had to ride the bus to the airport, clear customs in Ottawa, and make the two-hour flight to Raleigh. Not bad. But then you arrive at the hotel sometime around 2:30 a.m. For me, it takes me about an hour to wind down or so. So 3:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then there's a 5 p.m. start to the game the next night. It wasn't a 7 o'clock start to give them two extra hours. No, it was 5 p.m. So that means they have to be at the rink at 3 p.m. probably? 3-ish? 3:30? Mm-hmm. They probably didn't have a morning skate. They probably just, you know. But they had to be at the office by 3 o'clock. Which means they have to get on the bus around 2:30. To get there.
So, if not sooner.
Right. So you got a couple hours, a handful of hours to rest, recharge, rehabilitate your body, eat, you know, get ready for another game. And there's a lot of exertion in just one game. So,
and that's not all the behind the scene guys and everything, the equipment manager.
Right. The equipment managers have to get the entire locker room broken down from one city
yep.
and transport it to another city and then set up the locker room in another city.
Yep.
Which
skates have to be sharpened. Blades have to be retaped.
Jerseys repaired. Clean jerseys.
Yeah.
Clean shells. Like, I'm sure, you know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Laundry and all of that. And that's at the end of a four-game road trip.
Right.
So there's a lot of planning that goes on, and we're kind of alluding to what we're going to get to in our third segment about, you know, all of this, all the goings-on that happen behind the scenes mm-hmm. for the players just to step out onto the ice. So bravo to everybody that travels with the team, because it's not. And on top of that, it's the announcers. It's the, you know, Rick Peckhams. It's the Dave Mishkins. It's the Kaylee Chelioses of the world that have to travel and do these things. And they have to do their jobs, too. And they're on the same thing. They don't, you know, they didn't get to their hotel until late either.
Yeah.
So I can't. And when I have if something like that, I had to do something like that, I would be so grumpy the next day.
I traveled with you before.
I would be so hangry and so sleep deprived.
Early.
Well, now I'm at my older age to where it could be a Saturday and I'm awake at 8 o'clock no matter what time I go to bed. it's so frustrating. And my parents warned me about it. They're like, when you get older, because I used to be able to sleep. I could go to bed at 10 o'clock and I would sleep till noon. No problem. Somebody had to come wake me up. In the last couple years, though, I'm just automatically awake.
I wake up by 6 o'clock.
Oof.
7 days a week.
Oh, gosh, no.
Well, during the week for work, I wake up at 5:20.
Oh, gosh, no.
So sleeping until like 6 is a big deal on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, I only sleep 6 hours. I can't sleep more than 6 hours. You know this when we travel together. I'm up early. I cannot help it. Doesn't matter what time I go to bed.
Yep, and I'm like, hey, okay, you're up at 6. Go get a workout in. Go have breakfast. I'll see you at lunch.
Yeah, I'm one of those weird people. Like, I just can't. I don't know.
So just imagine having to play a hockey game.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah, so but it didn't matter. They win 3-1 in Carolina.
Big, big, big win.
Big win for them. That goal by Braden Point. Even he shocked himself. Like, it was the best reaction after a goal, I think, ever. And it's on the Lightning's Twitter account. It's fantastic. And Carolina's not a bad team. They're a very good team.
They were the Cinderella story of last year.
Right, and they're still playing good hockey.
They are.
But, yeah, man, like, that Braden Point goal was crazy. Like, even, I think it was Mrazek in goal for Carolina was just like, wow.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of stepped back and was like, oh, my goodness, what a thing. And one of the things I love is after the games are over, I always go on a Lightning Instagram, and they have the locker room reaction when the guys come in the locker room and they're playing the Gravy Train song or whatever it is. That's their song this year. It's so fun. Like, that's my kind of, like, after-game celebration. I'm like, woohoo.
Yeah. So now we're looking at...
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and talk about the week ahead, because we got a slam-packed week ahead of some teams that we don't see often and then some that we see not as often, right, but are still good teams. So we'll take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct. Hold on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget... Yo.
Yeah, I even gave, like,
you did the peace sign.
There.
I'm like, what? Whoa. Hey, Gangster Dory for 2020. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're in our second segment. We talked about the last week of Lightning play, which brought 7 straight wins, which was amazing. And we're going to get into the week ahead. But then we're going, at the end of the segment, we're going to reveal who our guest is. It's actually an interview from 2 seasons ago, and we have a lot of new Lightning Power Play listeners that you may not have heard this interview, and it's kind of relevant now because of something that happened on Twitter late last week. And so we're going to replay it because it was a really interesting interview, and the person is very interesting. And, you know, we've just talked about having the back-to-back against Ottawa and then Carolina, and not just getting the players to the rink and in their skates to play, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And so this will kind of shed some light on that, I hope. So we'll reveal that later in the segment. But let's get into the week ahead. Okay. Some teams that we don't see normally.
Yep.
Vancouver at home on Tuesday at 7.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of up and down. But JT Miller, who used to play for us, will be back in town, is having a really great season.
Yeah, Vancouver's always one of those teams that you never really know what you're going to get. They have some seasons where you're just like, oh, boy. And then they have other seasons where you're like, okay. They don't get, you know.
Right. They're kind of still rebuilding.
Okay.
Okay.
No, we'll go with that. I mean, I don't want to say I'm not a fan of Vancouver. I will just say I don't care for Vancouver. So I don't, like, it's one of those teams that I kind of put out of my head on purpose.
Okay.
I don't care for them.
Why?
It goes back. It's
It's a personal thing.
It's a personal
thing. It's not how they play.
No.
Okay. Well,
well, they did have Rafi Torres for a while.
And yes.
We all know I don't care for him.
Right.
Glad he's
But these are two of the hottest teams in the NHL right now. They're both on 7-game win streaks. So somebody's win streak is going to end on Tuesday night at Amalie Arena.
Vancouver.
I know you get mad when I do those things, but
why do you trigger? We talked about this before.
But it's personal. It's not for like real legit reasons.
No, I know.
So maybe it doesn't count.
I don't know. But it's going to be an exciting game. And JT Miller is back in, who used to play here. You know, they've got Brock Besser. They've got Pettersson. You know, so, and they're a young team. Young teams are always exciting. You know, we really don't see a lot of them. You know, this is like the first of two meetings for us this season. So it's hard for us to know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's going to be exciting because nobody wants to end their win streak. So that's going to put another storyline out there.
Right.
Do you think guys actually are thinking about that, though?
I don't think so.
Is it just the talking heads and the fans who are thinking, ooh, somebody's going to lose tonight, and that means somebody's win streak is over?
I'm sure. See, I don't know, because I'm not a professional hockey player. Shocker.
Oh, you aren't?
No.
No.
But I would think they know in their heads that they have won 7 straight games. But it's probably not talked about. I don't think the coaching staff and as a whole, they're talking about the win streak. I think they're just cognizant that they are playing good hockey lately.
Right.
Put it that way. So they know they've won 7 in a row.
And they're going to have a bunch of days, like they have a bunch of rest because the last game was Saturday and then they play us and we're just getting off of a back-to-back. But, you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
I don't know.
I think I'm not allowed to say anything else.
Just going to have to breathe through it. And they're third in their division right now, too. Mm-hmm. So they're playing really good hockey.
But I will say this, and I know you may feel the same way. I'm really looking forward to the Arizona game.
Oh, well, yeah, and because they're playing amazing hockey.
Yeah. Yes. People at home, you are correct. You heard correctly. Dory and CT are looking forward to the Coyotes game.
Yeah.
I am so fascinated by this team.
Which is Thursday.
Yeah, they're going to be our Thursday game and right before they go away again. But, you know, a couple years ago, something kind of interesting. You know, there was a point last year in the beginning of the season where the Lightning's power play was 100%. Penalty kill, I'm sorry, was 100%. Everybody remembers this. It went on for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they allowed some goals. But the Arizona Coyotes stayed at 100%. And then they went down to like 98%. I mean, and I started feeling then, if this Arizona can stay a little more consistent, boy, this team's going to be pretty tough. Now, they had made the trade for Nick Yarmarsson. They had made the trade for Antti Raanta. So they had, like, started adding little pieces.
Right.
You know? And we started seeing, like, oh, Arizona, okay. If I'm not mistaken, even towards the playoff postseason push last year, they were okay. And then this offseason, out of nowhere, they signed Phil Kessel, right? Or they traded for Phil Kessel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then December,
another big signing
with Taylor Hall. And anybody, we know we have a lot of new listeners, but people that have been listening to us for a while, and over the past few seasons, you and I really enjoy watching Taylor Hall play hockey, and we've mentioned it several times. He's a great, he's a fantastic hockey player, and he's very dynamic,
mm-hmm.
very skilled, but there's so much, he brings so much on the ice with him. And then, you know, they traded for him in December. So now you have a team, right, with two goaltenders in Raanta and Darcy Kemper,
mm-hmm.
who at one point they're going back and forth, and they're like the top two goaltenders, two of the top goaltenders in the league. So everything's going well for them. Unfortunately, they did lose Yarmarsson really early. I think it was game 4 with a broken fibula.
Mm.
Hate those. I'm not that I've had a bunch of them, but, you know, you hate to see that.
Right.
And then Kemper went down with a lower body injury where he's listed as week to week. So it's really been put on Raanta, who one out against Philadelphia last week. It's just, I find this team fascinating in almost, but not the same way I find Dallas fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
As in, they go through so much adversity, and you see them winning, and it's like, yeah, heck yeah.
Well, it's kind of like us a couple seasons ago, next man up, you know, and they're still winning.
Yeah.
And I like seeing Rick Tocchet succeeding and doing well as the coach of Arizona Coyotes because he coached us for a while. Mm-hmm. And so it's a nice storyline that they're doing so well.
I think they're very exciting.
And then they're on the road to Philly on Saturday, which is always a fun arena to play. I love that arena. I love taking, you know, the subway or the train or whatever they call it there.
The L?
Yeah. And dumping, that's so fun. Anyway, I love Philly. Oh, man, I want to go. Nice cheesesteak.
Yeah, I always love the thought of Philly, but then once I'm there. Well, I grew up there, so yeah. It's a little different.
And then back-to-back again versus New Jersey. The travel isn't as bad. They don't have to go through customs and all that. And it's a lot closer. It's a lot closer in proximity. I'm like, where is Ottawa?
About an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about an hour difference.
So it shouldn't be as arduous. And it's still a 7 start and a 7 start the next night. So it's not an earlier start like they had to deal with. So,
yeah.
So... And New Jersey is kind of reeling, I think, after the Taylor Hall trade to Arizona. So
I think something they haven't, you know, they struggled at the end of last season. They didn't make the playoff. We thought that they were a shoe-in the year before.
Right.
They played the Lightning so well that season in the postseason. They were looking so exciting and things didn't go their way last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had on our buddy Amanda Stein, who said, yeah, it's really not the start to the season we had hoped. And it just, you know, I think you get to a point where something has to give. I don't know that you give Taylor Hall, but hey, I'm not a GM. So what do I know? It's really, I would say, unfortunate what's going on with the Devils.
Yeah.
And I that's all I'll say. It's unfortunate.
And they're also going to be coming off a back-to-back. They're going to be away the Saturday before we play them in Washington. And their week is a tough week. They play New York, which is not that far for them. But then
but it's going to be
Saturday. They play at Washington and then they play us at home on Sunday.
Yeah, that Washington game. Washington's been beating up a lot of teams for us.
They are tough.
I think it's like
they beat us up too.
Yeah, I think it's like two or three teams that have played us like after Washington.
Yeah.
And
it's a little rough.
Go keep beating everybody up for us, Washington.
Yeah. It's
so
Washington. They're another one of my non-favorites. So that's the week ahead. Not so much divisional points on the line, but still important games, and it would be nice to keep that win streak going. So,
as of right now.
And, you know, when you get to beginning of April, every point matters, whether it's division or not. So, and, you know, we had a slower start to the season, so we gotta bank those points and put them away because they might come in handy later.
And at this point, it's almost... not even division anymore.
It's just the
Eastern
league.
Yeah, it's Eastern points.
We've I think it's more that. League.
I mean, we were looking, you know, it was a little shaky before the holidays for the Lightning to get into the playoffs as far as the wild card spot. It was shaky.
Yeah.
And they were hovering around 10, the 10th spot there for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, the way things were happening after the game on Sunday, Sunday's game,
They
were now third in their division.
Right.
It's a very...
so tight.
Small differential of points there. And again, there's still two games fewer played than others. So keep that in mind as well. But now we're seeing that those things are starting to kind of come to fruition a bit.
Yeah.
Not that they're there. You know, a lot can happen, of course. This is, you know, this is hockey. This is the NHL. But these points matter.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, it still stings from two seasons ago where they were out because of one point and they were not masters of their own destiny. They had to wait and see if another team was going to lose to another team on the last game of the season. And then they just fell short, I think, of one point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think enough guys are still on the team from that season to go, every point matters. We don't necessarily need to be at the top of the league or at the top of the division. But every point matters.
You don't have to score 120 whatever points it was last year.
Right. Just every point's going to matter. So, yeah. And then it's a really cool interview at TampaBayLightning.com, the state of the Lightning with general manager Julien Brisebois. So check that out. Some really interesting insight from the guy who builds the team. So always interesting to see him talk about, you know, choices and people and players. And I don't know. I enjoy him.
I like those. I love that stuff. I love like listening to general managers and team official like executives.
Yeah,
kind of let you in a little bit. And mm-hmm. I think the Lightning are very transparent.
Absolutely.
That started with Mr. Vinnick when he bought the team, mm-hmm. and carried on with Yzerman and obviously with Mr. Brisebois as well. I really like how transparent they are. Yep. I believe them when they say things.
Yes, I don't feel like I'm getting lip service.
Exactly.
So, and it's super important that trust between fans and media and GMs, and it just means a lot. And congratulations to Victor Hedman. He's headed to St. Louis for the All-Star Game. Congratulations. Be a superstar. And last man in is voting is open till through January 10th. Mm-hmm. Steven Stamkos is on the list. They have, I think, one player per team still left on that list. So cast your votes if you want to see Steven Stamkos head to the All-Star Game with Victor Hedman. I think there are four slots open.
Interesting, it's not Kucherov.
Yeah, I don't know how they came to that. Maybe it was, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But get on there and vote if you want to see two representatives from the Tampa Bay Lightning in St. Louis. And I caught up on the Dan Girardi block party the other day, and they released an episode on December 25th with Alex Killorn, which is very funny.
Okay.
It's really well done. And then Bradley sat down with him. So kind of giving you an insight into what travel looked like for the team mm-hmm. when they first started. Mm. And there's this really interesting story about arriving at a hotel and they're not allowed to stay there.
Oh.
That's called a tease in the business. Because I don't want to give it away. I want you to listen to the podcast. So Block Party with Dan Girardi. Really interesting. Players that are playing right now mm-hmm. and players that have played for the organization. And they, you know, talk about
in yesterday.
History. Yeah. And it sounds like they're going to be sitting down with JT Miller, too, because they kept referencing that during the Alex Killorn interview. So okay. I guess Dan and JT played in New York together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's in Vancouver, I guess they're taking the opportunity to have him on. So,
hey, why not?
It'll be interesting. So definitely worth a listen. Once you listen to our show and Lightning Power Play, listen to the Dan Girardi Block Party because it's really fun.
He's a funny guy.
He is so funny. Cracks me up. All right. So, you know, we've talked a lot about travel mm-hmm. and back-to-backs and the goings-on behind the scenes of what happens to get a team from one city to the next and on the ice on time for puck drop. It's not just getting the players in the city and getting their skates on. There's a lot that goes on. And Dory, it was funny. You saw something on Twitter this weekend mm-hmm. and we're like, you know what? Let's do this.
Yeah, so over the weekend, as most, you know, I'm sure you guys all know, Greg Linnelli does intermission shows on Lightning Power Play, and he's usually joined by our buddy, Eric Erlison. They're both our friends, really. We're a very tight-knit community, so we really don't have, like, any nemesis that I know of. But yeah, Eric and Greg are friends of ours, and they were, somebody had asked Eric about the jerseys. What do they do? How many, you know, it was a question about the jerseys because they've been on the road for however
four
long.
Four games, yeah.
And a follower of ours, and I really don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm just going to spell her name.
Okay.
Okay, it's F-E-I-C-H-F-E-M.
Freisham?
Freisham? I don't know, she's lovely. Anyway, so she piped in and said, hey, Game Misconduct had a show about this last season. And so I chimed in on behalf of the show that, you know, and answered the question. Then it kind of got a little back and forth because Eric came back and was, you know, joking like, hey, this the conversation's closed right now because we want them to listen through the intermission. So anyway, she's a lovely
Looks like really Feischfem. I don't
know. Feischfem, I don't know.
Thanks for following us.
Please.
And you don't have your name on Twitter, so yeah. I can't, your real name.
Tweet us and let us know, or DM us, and just let us know what your real name is, because I feel terrible that I can't even pronounce her Twitter handle. But she was awesome, and she gave me the idea that, hey, people, as you said, may not have heard. They've heard our interview with Dr. Gil Rivera this year. Maybe even some heard our Sonia Bryson interview from later in the last season.
One.
Rob Kennedy, one of the equipment managers for the team, who's been with them for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's a great interview, and we just kind of got the idea, like, hey, why not replay it?
Yeah, because we might have some new listeners who haven't heard it, and it's really fascinating, and it kind of comes on the heels of having a back-to-back schedule, 2 weekends in a row. The whole thing about when they went from Ottawa to Carolina, they got to get on the bus after coming back from behind in a game, clear customs, ride the bus to the new city, mm-hmm. and then get on a plane, and then get off the bus. But they're not getting off the bus. They're actually going to the arena because they got to set up for a 5 o'clock game the next day, which players usually show up about 2:30, 3 o'clock for. So it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
So it's not just the players who are exhausted. It's the people traveling with the team to make sure that they have everything they need at their fingertips to come out with a W.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fascinating. And then, like, jerseys when there's a trade and what happens and all this kind of, skates and sticks and tape jobs and all of this stuff that goes on that you don't even think about.
Right.
It's quite a machine mm-hmm. that helps run a team. So we're going to replay that for you in our next segment. We really hope you enjoy it. So stick around for the final segment of Game Misconduct on Lightning Power Play.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory. Don't forget you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are with our guest this week, and I'm very excited. We've been trying to get him on for a little while, and he's a very busy man. Mr. Rob Kennedy, the assistant equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Rob, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I sit very close to the bench, so I kind of watch what everybody does, and we've had Mike Poirier on before and to kind of figure out what they do. And so you're the equipment guy. I mean, these guys really can't play without your support on the bench and on game days and practice days and everything. And so can you kind of give us a rundown of the day in a life of an equipment manager on game day and on travel, like road trips?
Our game days they tend to be long hours. Typical home day, I get to the rink. I'll get up in the morning around 5:30 or so. I'm at the rink by 6.
Ooh.
The first couple hours are just kind of just dilly-dallying around, trying to make sure I've got all my I's dotted, T's crossed from the day before that we're ready to go. Move on from there. For me, I have a very routine game day. My day is very structured. I go through in the morning. I work on the game jerseys, make sure there's no holes, stuff like that. Whatever the players might need, if they need something in the morning, which generally isn't too much because we get it done the day before.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we've got our morning skate. Guys come off. We check skates again to make sure that they're good to go for the game. Resharpen anybody that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Put the game jerseys out. Get the room set up. And then it's lunchtime. And generally, Mikey Poirier and I and Brandon Rogers, our strength coach, and one of our guys, Mike Peterson from analytics, will come down. We'll play basketball there for lunch.
I would have thought you would have had a nap, but you're going to go play basketball. Okay.
Well, we haven't had the nap yet. We're not
there yet. Oh, okay. That's coming. Okay.
It's a little bit of basketball, a lunch, take a quick little nap, and then Mikey and I we work out together on game days, about a 30-minute workout, and then it's pretty much shower time and getting close for us for game time. We start getting the room the heat turned off in the room, put the fans away, make sure the room is perfect. Mike will put out a bunch of his drinks and stuff like that he puts out for the players. And then it's for us, it's hurry up and wait. Just if anything goes wrong, then we're there to do whatever needs to be done. With our new practice facility in Brandon, I tend to be a little more busy on game days, where I'm using our different tools and stuff that we have here at Amley as opposed to what we don't have out in Brandon yet. So some of the little bit of project kind of work I work on while we're here on game days, since we're not here as much as we used to be.
Okay. And then what's a travel road trip like for you? Because then you've got to get all the equipment to all the different cities.
Yeah, it really depends on what our plans are. In our case today, we're in here today. We packed up the truck today, loaded all the equipment on because we're practicing in Brandon tomorrow. We'll go out to Brandon. We have an extra set of gear out there. So all we have to bring to Brandon with us are skates and the goalie equipment. And we'll practice out there in the morning. Everything for the trip will be on the truck already except for those skates and goalie equipment. Once practice ends tomorrow, we'll have the four goalie bags, three bags of skates from all the guys, throw them right on the truck, go to the airport, and we're off and running.
Wow. It's just such an undertaking. I think just watching the game, you kind of don't think about all the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens to get these guys on the ice, and obviously they can't do it without you guys. So kind of just the strangest request you've ever had from a player, you don't need to tell us who the player is, but like the strangest request.
Actually, it's pretty easy. I wasn't here. I had a player ask me for a Bible.
Bible, okay.
A Bible. Really, really caught me off guard. I've had guys ask for a lot of different things, but the strangest one I would say was in the middle of a game, a guy asked for a Bible.
Wow.
And obviously we didn't have one.
Clearly, you may have been losing that game.
I was with the Florida Panthers at the time, so there's probably a good chance we were.
Okay. So a Bible, okay. He needed some, intervention.
Yeah. I don't know what he was looking for, to be honest, because he really caught me off guard. I did not see that one coming.
Did you change it, and like now you carry a Bible around just in case?
No.
Okay.
No. It was a one-time thing. We don't need to do that. We don't get too carried away with that kind of stuff.
Oh my goodness! I'm sure you could have been like, "Is there a priest in the house?" And maybe that could have worked. I don't know.
Right.
So we've noticed a lot of pucks flying into the bench this season. I just feel like it's more than normal. You unfortunately got knocked in the head with one, and you're okay. Thank goodness you had a bunch of doctors and everything around. But I'm waiting for the time where the league is like, all right, everybody that stands on the bench needs to wear a helmet.
Yeah, that was talked about. Julian Breezeball, actually, I think he was joking, but he was kind of serious at the same time when we were talking after I got hit there last week or whatever it was 2 weeks ago. And I don't see pucks coming into the bench and hitting too many people on a regular enough basis to call for something like that. I don't think.
Okay. But you're okay? Everything's okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I've got a rock head, so no big deal.
Well, so we talk about the pucks. So how many, just off the top of your head, how many pucks do you think the team goes through in a week?
In a week? Oh, wow.
Or if it's easier in one game day.
On a game day, we use probably two cases of pucks. We don't, like, we obviously don't lose all of them. But we'll use a case and a half or so in the morning, and we always have a half a case of game pucks in the freezer ready to go for the game, which is a half a case is about 50 pucks.
Wow.
So I would say maybe 150 to 200 pucks are used in a day.
Wow. That's a lot of pucks. Holy pucks, that's a lot. And so on the same kind of note, I live by the arena, so I go for walks to get my exercise in, and I'm always smelling the wonderful aroma of laundry detergent when I'm walking behind the arena, and I'm probably thinking, you know, they're doing a load of laundry. So you said that when you come in for game days, you check to make sure there are no holes in the jerseys. But that means somebody's also got to clean these jerseys, and I'm sure you have quite the extensive team of equipment, an equipment team that handles this. But like, you guys are doing laundry quite often, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much nonstop on game days, and every day for that matter. We have Jason Berger handles most of our laundry needs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all know how to run the washers and dryers, but Jason covers a lot of that. He's constantly got towels and the guys' underwear bags. The visiting team's laundry.
You could do the visiting team.
Take care of the visiting team's laundry and amongst other things for the visiting team when they're here. It's similar to a guest visiting your home. You look after them, you treat them well, make sure they've got everything they need. Try to make them feel as comfortable as possible, because hopefully at the end of the day they're leaving with a loss and you're going home happy.
So, and you want them to be able to help you with the laundry when you're in their town visiting too.
Well, of course, of course. And we're behind the scenes, like all of us equipment managers around the league, they're a good friend. We all help each other out. Nobody will turn their back on somebody if they need help with something. If we forget a piece of equipment, a team will give it to us if they have it, and vice versa.
Oh, wow.
It's just, you know, we don't play the games. We're just there to make sure the players are prepared and ready to play. And, you know, sometimes you have to help the other team out.
That's amazing. And I mean, clearly, it matters. Like, I just, you guys are like a well-oiled machine. I just watch you guys on the bench, and you can anticipate what people need and want before they even know they need it. And so you guys just do a phenomenal job. One question that we were very curious about is, you know, when the trade deadline happens and you guys, we acquire a new player, and maybe they're playing that night or even the next day. How does that work? Like, you get a jersey with their name on the back and their number, and then they've got their sticks and their shells and all of their equipment. Like, is that something they're bringing with them? Or are you supplying that? How does that whole thing happen?
A little all of the above. They're going to come with their main equipment. Their under equipment, which is stuff that the fans don't really see, their elbow pads, their shin guards, shoulder pads, that sort of stuff. They'll come with their own white helmet because every team uses a white helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as pants, gloves, and maybe a blue helmet goes, we will provide that. We'll carry if we're on the road for the trade deadline, we'll carry a few sets of extra equipment with us just in case we make a big trade. I will usually carry some extra jerseys with numbers with no names.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can easily make a nameplate if I have to for the jersey. If not, if we have a day to get it figured out, our company that makes jerseys for us or puts the names and numbers on is on the West Coast. So it buys us some time in that regard, that if something happens at 8:00 at night, they can still get a jersey to us the next day.
Wow.
In most cases, it doesn't matter if it's Saturday, Sunday. They can still get it out. There's different ways we go about it, whether it's using a common courier like FedEx or we use Delta Airlines. They've got air cargo that they'll ship stuff city to city for us. So we've got some different ways of getting things, and just to make sure that we're covered. A lot of times, like I said, especially around the trade deadline, we try to carry extra with us just to cover ourselves.
Just anticipate anything could happen or anything could come up, and you guys are prepared. Well, this has been really interesting. I've always wondered, and you've done a couple of the Lightning Ladies U and Hockey in Heels, so I've kind of seen you address a few of these things before, but for our listeners, I'm sure that they are really fascinated and grateful to have you as a part of our team.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
So that was a replay from a while back with Rob Kennedy. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Game Misconduct, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.